This episode is brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768. Welcome to Now Hear This, Candy.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to this episode of Now Hear This Can Be. I am your host, James Walton. Let's read the news. Members of the Can Be High School band will once again showcase their talents on the small screen in a forthcoming episode of a new comedy that recently debuted on TBS. The new show, Chad, tells the story of a 14-year-old Persian boy, played by a 39-year-old actress and comedian Nassim Pedrad, navigating his first year of high school on a mission to become popular. Pedrad, known for her work on Saturday Night Live, New Girl, and the live-action remake of Aladdin, is also a creator, writer, executive producer, and showrunner. Initially greenlit in 2019, production on Chad was pushed back by the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic last year. Carrie Garrett, a 2020 graduate of Canby High School and a former band member, was among those who participated in filming for the project, which took place on February 21st, 2020, 1 week before the first case of coronavirus was confirmed in Oregon.
Well, I don't remember much. It was so long ago, she said with a laugh.
The best part was being able to dance proudly in our uniforms. We may have been sweating like crazy and dying of thirst, but all in all, it was quite fun to be able to participate in a show with a high school setting. Filming took place at the North Clackamas Christian High School in Oregon City with approximately 25 to 30 band members, along with director Nick Luchterhand participating. The first episode of Chad came out on TBS Tuesday, but you have to wait a little longer to see the Canby High School band's exploits. Their scenes do not appear until the show's eighth episode and season finale. The band is not only seen, but also heard. Their stylings provide background music for the crucial sequence leading up to the show's first season cliffhanger. Unlike the CHS's band's previous role in the Netflix film All Together Now, in which several members, including Garrett, had the opportunity to interact with the likes of Fred Armisen and Auli'i Kuvaulo, local students did not get the chance to meet the stars this time around. But we did get to see them in action, Garrett recalled. It's always exciting to see what they get to do on the daily. As for All Together Now, the energetic and musical tearjerker debuted in August to widespread critical acclaim, especially here in Canby. Oh, I've heard nothing but positive feedback, Garrett said. The day the movie was released, the movie hit the top 10 charts of Netflix movies and was all the hype for a few weeks. The Canby community definitely loved having her local high school band be a part of this movie, she continued, laughing as she recounted several who, apparently not understanding how Netflix worked, asked where they can buy the film on DVD. Overall, I think the movie was a great success. Restaurants, bars, gyms, and other businesses in Canby will be forced to reduce indoor capacity starting this Friday, as Governor Kate Brown has announced Clackamas County is moving the wrong direction in Oregon's statewide framework for reopening amid the continuing pandemic. After progressing from high risk to moderate risk less than 2 months ago, the county's metrics for tracking the coronavirus have inched steadily upward and is now being moved back to the higher level.
We are at a critical moment in this pandemic as we face more contagious variants of COVID-19 taking hold in our communities, Governor Brown said in a statement. Now more than ever, it's imperative that we all continue wearing masks, maintain physical distance, stay home when sick, and get the vaccine when it's available to you. Eating and drinking establishments in high-risk counties may allow indoor dining, but capacity is reduced to 25% maximum occupancy or 50 people, whichever is smaller. The capacity for outdoor dining is decreased to 75 people maximum. In either case, parties are limited to 6 people per table, and establishments must close by 11 p.m. Likewise, indoor fitness centers and entertainment venues such as theaters and museums must go down to 25% occupancy or 50 people, staff included, whichever is smaller. Faith institutions may allow 25% capacity or 150 people, whichever is smaller. Up to 200 are permitted for outdoor services. County risk levels are reassessed and reassigned every 2 weeks, meaning Clackamas County's placement at high risk will be effective until at least April 22nd. The next assignment of risk levels will be announced on April 20th and take effect April 23rd. The KMB School District has launched a survey to collect community input on its search for a new superintendent, part of an expedited plan to have a new executive in place by the end of June, when the current super, Trip Goodall, is stepping down. The district's board of directors has contracted with GR Recruiting, a nationwide educational hiring and consulting services firm, to lead the search for the district's next superintendent. The survey, which will be available through April 16th, is part of GR's efforts to collect input from the community to determine which qualities stakeholders would like most to see in the next superintendent. Additional feedback opportunities will be available through virtual focus groups for parents and community members that are planned for next week, 4 sessions in English and 1 in Spanish. After the community survey and virtual focus groups, GR will advertise the position and begin accepting applications until May 14th. The early field will be reviewed and winnowed down to top candidates who will be scheduled for interviews on May 25th and 26th, according to the district's timeline. Those selected as finalists for the position will undergo further interviews in early June. The successful candidate is also planned to be picked that month with the goal of him or her picking up the baton from Goodall on July 1st. The district plans to provide updates on the superintendent search on its website as the process moves forward and information becomes available. Goodall announced last month that he did not plan to seek a contract extension with Camby and would instead be leaving the district of approximately 4,700 students after 7 years. In a statement informing the community of his decision, he called his time with the Camby School District a highlight of his career and did not offer any explanation for stepping down. After a year of pandemic restrictions and distance learning, not to mention the stressors of wildfire evacuations and storm-induced blackouts, it's not surprising that you may have had times where you feel like the roof is coming down on you. Fortunately for one Canby family, this quite literal fate has been avoided thanks to the local contracting firm Boss Exteriors, which replaced fully the roof of their home for free this past week. Gabe Calloway, owner of the Canby-based Boss Exteriors, said his company ran a campaign late last year asking for submissions of deserving local families in need of a new roof. The team voted at the company Christmas party to award the remarkable gift to Mary Ann and Brent Taylor, who live with their 2 children off of Ponderosa Street in Northeast Canby. "It's always an honor to give, especially in a meaningful way, like a roof," Calloway told the Now Hear This Canby. "If we aren't giving back, then it's all about consuming. I don't want to build a business around consuming. Giving is at the core of our values. This is a family-owned business, and there is no better way to display that than to help another family." The Taylors were nominated for the project by their neighbors, Kate and Tyler Steele. "We absolutely feel that our next-door neighbors are the biggest heroes of the story," Marianne Taylor told Now Hear This Canby this week. "Just that they would think that highly of us to nominate us for something like that is such a huge blessing." A substitute teacher at Karis Elementary, Marianne lost her position when the state's entire public school system was forced into remote learning last March. The pandemic was and is a scary time for non-financial reasons as well, as Marianne has faced continued health challenges over the years related to a bout with breast cancer she survived in 2015, shortly after the family moved to Canby.
Though Brent, a probation and parole supervisor for the Clackamas County Community Corrections, continued to work throughout COVID-19, the loss of Marianne's income was significant when it came to big expenditures, like replacing the roof. "We actually got an estimate," Marianne explained. "We were just hoping schools would open up again soon and we could start saving up for that." In fact, Marianne was hired by Karis last month to teach full-time through the end of the academic year. But thanks to the generosity of Boss Exteriors, the family will be able to put those earnings towards other essentials. "When we found out, honestly, we didn't know what to think," she admitted. "It didn't even feel real because it was such a big blessing. We feel very fortunate and so very grateful for our neighbors and Boss Exteriors." For photos, you can visit our website, canbefirst.com. Once again, the Canby Area Chamber is looking to bring out the best in Canby. After a successful rollout in 2019, the Chamber is bringing back its Best of Canby survey with 25 new categories to celebrate excellence in the local business community. "We wanted to rotate categories every other year to keep people engaged and represent as many industries and sectors as we could," Executive Director Kyle Lang told Now Hear This Canby. "The only award that is a rerun is the Best Overall Community Service, and there's a reason for that. We really want that to be the big award that we do every year," Lang explained. "We want our businesses to chase that one. If I were a business owner, I'd be marketing on social media, telling my employees and my customers, hey, this is the one we really want." New categories include Best New Business, Best Agritourism Destination, Best Apartment Living, Best Cocktail, Best Law Office, Best Local Manufacturer, Best Mortgage Company, Best Sandwich, Best Wedding Venue, and Canby's Best Kept Secret. As you can see, some categories aren't even specifically business related, like Best Coach or Best Community Volunteer, but instead highlight broader examples of all that the Canby community has to offer. The survey, which is open until April 18th, will culminate in a new publication from the Chamber, the 2021 Insider's Guide to Canby, featuring not only the winners, but also local history, events, info, food, features, and more.
Stay connected to what matters most this winter with unlimited high-speed internet from DirectLink. While things may look a little different this year, as we all work together to keep everyone as safe and healthy as possible, you can be confident that DirectLink's reliable network will keep your video calls, Snapchats, stories, and photos crystal clear and at your fingertips whenever you need them. In 2021, DirectLink is thankful for all of their amazing members and is proud to be your local internet, video, and voice provider for over 116 years. Cheese. It's an expensive habit. Do you go with the convenience of pre-made slices or small servings where you have to pay a premium for packaging and production? Or do you DIY your dairy and buy by the block where you have to deal with knives and graters, risking your fingers, potentially making a mess of the kitchen that you then have to clean up? On today's show, we welcome Tate Koenig. He's a local entrepreneur who just may have found a better way. He's the inventor of the cheese chopper, and he joins us now. Welcome, Tate.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome to be here.
As I understand, you're also known as Mr. Cheese. Is that because of your love of cheese or dad jokes?
Yeah, a combination of both. They seem to go
either
hand
or,
in
right?
hand with me. Yeah, exactly.
Depends
My
on
cheese
the day.
Pun game. Right, exactly. And the time of day. Yeah.
Yes.
But no, I've been a big cheese fan. And then, when we started coming out with the cheese chopper and my cheesy jokes,
yeah.
The name Mr. Cheese was dubbed and now it's just stuck. And so
yeah.
we've been running with it. It's been entertaining to say
yeah.
the least.
Yeah. You have just a list of like dairy puns that you're always adding to or whatnot. I've seen them on here.
Oh, I've got some great jokes.
Yes.
They're unbelievable.
Very nice. I didn't know if you were dairy, but you did.
Yeah. Well, I claim to be legendary, so you never know.
Awesome. Well, you have some exciting news, but let's start with the cheese chopper and kind of the origin story of it. It started as an idea just kind of for your own personal
you know, problem. As I kind of said in my intro, you were buying cheese by the loaf or by the brick, and looking for a better way to kind of enjoy it and have more uniform slices and things like that. Did you always plan to market it, or how did this idea kind of take shape?
Yeah. So it came about 3 years ago or so. I was living actually on the Willamette River with a couple of buddies, and, you know, we would have barbecues all the time. And, you know, at the end of the weekend, we'd always have like half a brick of cheese that and got left out on the counter that didn't things or whatever else. And then, you know, finally one day, one of my friends was cutting cheese and she sliced the end of her finger, and she maybe had a margarita or two. But anyway, so we're like, oh, my gosh, this is. Yeah. Right. We're like, OK, there's got to be a better solution for this. So we got online and we're like, you know, there's got to be something to, a better way to cut cheese. It'd be nice if we had something to store it in. We're always throwing this plastic wrap away after each one. And so we searched and there was nothing available. There was nothing out there on the market. So we poured ourselves a couple more margaritas and went into the shop and got some plexiglass, got some materials, and started kind of playing around with trying to build our own one. I think we went through, so originally it was like, we were just kind of playing around with it. You know, started getting it to where it to work. We 3D printed a couple of prototypes. And then, originally I posted a little video on Facebook and I just said, hey, check out this little project I've been working on, just on my personal page, and ended up getting like 35,000 shares or views and like kind of going thing. And we're like, okay, time out. You know, we might be onto something here. So at that point we kind of pulled back and, you know, went through the entire redesign process, the manufacturing, the ability, and then, you know, eventually manufacturing and now bringing it to market. So, I guess the answer is it wasn't really, you know, like I said, it was kind of a fit a need when we started, and then has now blossomed into a full-on product.
That's awesome. And it's nice to hear a story that begins with, we grabbed a few more margaritas and went to the shop. but have a story right. Like that has a happy ending. So very
no
cool.
More
you took it to Kickstarter and Indiegogo and had amazing success with that. You set like a $15,000 goal I saw on Kickstarter, and on both of those platforms separately were over the $100,000 mark. People seem to really respond well to your marketing and the product itself.
Yeah, apparently my dad jokes work. But we did. We set out with a goal of $15,000. I had never done a Kickstarter campaign before. I'd backed a handful of them, you know. So we really didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. We did find out, like I said, I mean, people seem to really love the product, the idea. You know, there's a couple, you know, benefits and things, especially we learned, you know, because you have the ability to, so it stores your cheese, which is the one thing.
Right.
But then it comes with three handle options. So it comes with a wire, a blade, or a grater. And there's a little wheel on the side. And I don't know if people can see it, but so that you can move the cheese in and out and pick your, like, the thickness of your slice of cheese. And honestly, before this, I had no idea how much people cared if they had a really thin slice or a thick slice, but people seem to really have a preference.
Oh my gosh. People definitely right? care. Yeah.
Right. Oh no, I'm learning big time. Right. And so you've got the wire where you can cut like the perfect thin slices you can almost see through. You've got the blade for your hard cheeses, and then also the grater. So it kind of hits on all the avenues of the cheese world.
Right. Right. No, and some people take that real seriously. It's like a Coke or Pepsi thing, you know, don't hand them the wrong slice of cheese. Well, you might as well just throw it away. Yeah.
Well, right. And then you get into, you know, the pre-sliced or pre-grated cheese you get from the store, which is, you know, quite a bit more expensive.
Right.
But on top of that, you know, and once again, once you become Mr. Cheese, you learn all of these things, but all of those pre-sliced or grated cheese come covered in these like anti-clumping agents.
Mm.
So they're covered in like, they use wood pulp and a bunch of different weird things that they use to make the cheese not stick together and preserve once it's been grated.
Gotcha.
So you're actually getting a much better cheese for cheaper money.
Gotcha.
So you know, it's kind of got the cost saving. Yeah, healthier. And like I said, it's cheaper, it's healthier. And, you know, the biggest complaint we've got from people is, and it's a pretty serious one, is everybody gets it and they're like, hey, this is horrible. They go, what do you mean? They're like, do you realize how much cheese I eat now?
Right.
Because it's so, because I mean, my buddy says, he goes, hey, it takes me 12 seconds to pull out a block of cheese, slice off a slice, put it back in the fridge and be back.
I know.
He goes, are you kidding me? He goes, I eat so much cheese now. It's ridiculous.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it is that cool thing where it, which is like really rare, where it's like a kitchen tool that also stores the food. Like that never happens. Usually it's like two separate things. So,
right.
So coming up this week, and I don't know how it works. I don't know if you've already filmed it, but you're going to be on Shark Tank.
Yes, yes. So yeah, and I did film it a couple months ago.
Okay, I'm sure, I'm sure you have to be careful.
Spoilers. Yeah, right. Yeah, got to be careful what I can say, but I can tell you tune in Friday at 8 o'clock and we can find out for ourselves.
Yeah, awesome.
And that'll actually be my first time seeing anything since the day I filmed it,
yeah.
Which as you can imagine is kind of a whirlwind in your brain when that's all going on.
Yeah.
Can you tell us,
obviously you can't tell us what happens or what people will see, but just sort of what the experience was like. Did they fly you out or?
Yeah. And actually, so it was kind of crazy. They actually reached out to me.
Oh, really?
So I've been an entrepreneur. I went to Oregon State and got a business management and minor in entrepreneurship, international business. So it's kind of always been in my blood and I've always, you know, said, I want to go on that show and I want to do it, but the timing just wasn't quite right for this product. So we did our Kickstarter and because, you know, they'd already done all the casting and everything. But anyways, I do my Kickstarter and we're about 3/4 of the way through our month campaign.
We did the Kickstarter last summer, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, we did it last, about exactly a year ago. I think we did it last April.
Okay.
April, or maybe it was May, I think. Yeah, but about a year ago.
Yeah.
And anyways, it's a Sunday night at like 11 o'clock and I get an email from so-and-so at Shark Tank saying, hey, Tate, we saw your product. We saw your video. Honestly, we think your shirt is hilarious. I'm wearing a shirt that says "That's what she said."
Right,
that's our company shirt. So yeah, people love it. She goes, I think it'd be a great fit for Shark Tank. Like, would you be interested? And honestly, I instantly thought it was one of my friends screwing with me.
Right.
So
like
no way.
Okay.
To Shark Tank email at 11 o'clock
random
on a Sunday.
Liar from India, probably. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's
credit card.
Exactly. Right. I'm like, no way. So I typed the lady's name in and get on LinkedIn and all of a sudden there's so-and-so executive producer at Shark Tank. And I'm like, oh, okay. So yes. When can you meet? I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. And so I end up setting up a call with them the following morning at like 9 a.m. and have a quick chat with, you know, the lady, the producer and one other person there. And they said, well, Tate, you know, we'll be honest with you. We're already done casting and doing everything for season 12 of Shark Tank. So, you know, really you're too late for that for this season. However, everything right now is put on hold because we film in California and they just said no filming, no videos or anything because of COVID.
Yeah.
So right now we're on hold. We're supposed to start back up in an undisclosed location, da, 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 da. So if you're game for it, we can try and shove you right through the process. They go, well, I'll just tell you right now, I'm the one in charge of making this decision and you made it through the next round. But it's going to be kind of a whirlwind for you. So I had 16 days to go through the entire casting process in a very expedited manner and everything from, background checks, psych intervals, business evaluations. I mean, they wanted to talk to my family and friends. I mean, the whole Marriott. And anyway, so made it through that whole portion in that time in those 16 days, was able to catch up to speed with kind of the final contestants that were getting ready to go film. And then, and end up getting through it. And then once again, the COVID situation made it a pretty unique Shark Tank filming experience. I had to be passing COVID tests for 2 weeks prior for the solid. Once I got there, I was in a 9-day quarantine with no human contact. So stuck in a hotel room for 9 days. And their thing is, listen, no hard feelings, but we've got cameras. If you step in the hallway, we just hand you a plane ticket home. I'm like a
so intense
pretty, and I'm like a pretty active person. I struggle to sit still at all, so let alone in a hotel room for 9 days was pretty unique, I guess, to say the least. And but then straight from there they take you down and then throw you right into the tank. So it was a very interesting, a very intense is a very good word to describe it. But yeah, I went and filmed it. And then actually, I didn't even know if my episode was going to be purchased by the network or if I was going to make it on episode or anything until about 10 days ago. So about 10 days ago, I finally just got the email. It was like 5 months ago I filmed. They said, hey, listen, would network bought your episode. You're airing in 2 weeks. Get ready. Yeah. So awesome. We've been just kind of gearing up and getting things ready from there. Yeah, it's been a pretty awesome experience.
Yeah, fun. Even with everything?
Yeah, I mean, definitely fun. I find this kind of stuff fun personally, yeah. But I mean, very, very stressful, you know, and sure. Top of the entire thing, you know, through this process, you know, the Shark Tank was a big hurdle, but the actual manufacturing of this product specifically, because it's so unique, there's really nothing else out there that does all these things and requires all of these different things,
right.
As far as, you know, the different parts and pieces and whatnot and manufacturing. And once again, with the COVID situation and it's being manufactured overseas. And so it's just turned into a nightmare and logistics and shipping containers getting stuck and everything else. So we actually just landed our first shipping container of cheese choppers about 10 days ago at my house. I landed it 2 days before I found out our episode was getting purchased for Shark Tank. So
wow.
Lucky timing.
Been a real whirlwind again.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's about to start on Friday. I'm sure nothing they say will quite compare you to what Friday is going to be like.
I bet.
And you know, and that's my other thing is I haven't seen anything either. So I have no idea how it was cut, edited, filmed, what parts, portions or anything else. So now it's like, you know, I was up there for 50 minutes and it's getting cut down to 6 to 8 minutes of TV time.
Right.
Who knows what that's going to look like. I'm definitely getting anxious. And like I said, we've got our manufacturing, we've got some inventory. We've just finished as of actually yesterday, we shipped out the last pallet for all of our pre-orders for everyone who pre-ordered on Kickstarter and Indiegogo. Yeah, yeah. From all of our backers. So we're finally able to fulfill all of their orders. It's, you know, it's funny because, you know, I keep in contact with our backers and everything through the update boards. And there's been some people almost getting angry and frustrated, you know, because there's been some delays. We've had some issues taking a little longer than we thought. Yeah. But it's funny because all these people are commenting like, holy smokes, I would have never thought that people could be so hot and bothered over a cheese slicing device, right?
And it's
like, they're like, listen, I get frustrated every single time I pull out this block of cheese covered in tinfoil in my fridge.
Right.
Right. Like, this is an issue.
I mean, you showed them what's possible and then you didn't get it to them.
I know. So I'm very excited. It's fun now getting that, you know, they're actually shipping out and delivering and all the random people from across the US and actually across the world. That was the other mind blowing thing from our backers. We actually almost had 20% of our orders for those initial backers were international.
Which
really, really surprised us as, you know, cause I do a lot of international business and I had really just seen this as a US product.
Yeah.
Across the world. And so now that they're actually getting their cheese choppers and we're getting the pictures sent in of everybody chopping cheese at home and using it, it's a very nice compared to the last 9 months of just grind to actually deal with some happy customers and get some positive feedback and kind of see the fruits of the labor start to appear.
Right. You probably felt like you were through the cheese grater a couple of times.
Oh my gosh, man. I'll tell you what, there's been more than a few times. I'm like, this is what I decided to do in my free time. This is what I'm doing when I'm not at work. Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's fun. It's great that you're in this exciting place now where things are finally coming together and getting some great exposure. I'm sure when that show does air this Friday, you're probably just going to get inundated with orders or what you're hoping for. Probably.
Hopefully. That's hopefully right. I mean, the idea is we hopefully should sell out of all of our inventory that we've got right now and be waiting on the next container of them again. Yeah. Which once again, it's a frustrating problem, but it's a good problem to have.
Awesome. Very cool. I appreciate you taking time to kind of walk us through that whole thing. I just want to ask you one more thing, kind of from your experience overall and I guess what you have learned through this process that you mentioned and you know, we should say kind of one of the reasons you're talking to us, you mentioned where you went to the college, but you grew up here in the Canby area. Live in the area now. So
went to 91 and then Canby High School. So been around for a little while.
So although I am a huge fan of cheese myself, that's not the only reason that we're having you on the show right now. You went into a school for entrepreneurship. I feel like you've probably learned you've got this, you know, great video that you've got on your Kickstarter, on your website, your branding. You've talked about your cheese. You probably learned being an entrepreneur, being a business person, so much about that kind of branding and social media and stuff now, probably more than you necessarily learned at business school as far as just the product and the price and things like that.
Well, 100%. And, you know, it's, man, I guess it's kind of crazy now that I'm realizing how old I am. But when I was in business school, it was 8 years ago. There was no such thing as Facebook marketing or Instagram ads or
Shark Tank for that matter.
Yeah, no, Shark Tank was that. I remember being in college and being like, I'm going to get on that show one day. So yeah, no, we would all talk about the Shark Tank dream and during class, but yeah, I mean, it's been a very, very learned a lot in this experience. And like I said, and so we've got a couple different, I've got a couple other different products and things that are kind of in the works. That are coming up behind. I'll give you one that we got coming up now. Next, it's kind of along the same ways. It's called the Pizza Pack. Now, the Pizza Pack is it's an interesting one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So do you like, everyone likes pizza, right? But it's, everyone hates trying to put that pizza, put the box of pizza in your fridge afterwards.
Yes.
So ours, you know, the Tupperware or the, you know, plastic containers, they're silicone that kind of collapse, go up and down. So, you know, they have those like, Tupperware containers, they're like silicone that kind of collapse and get smaller or bigger.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's one of those, but it's the shape of a slice of pizza. Okay. So you can put as many slices in it as you want and just make it bigger or smaller. So it's only the size of a box, but or of a slice instead of putting the whole box in. And it comes with little dividers that go in between the slices that then just pull out and are microwave safe pizza plates for each slice. So, you know, like we're trying to capitalize on it. Those will be pre-ordered on our website here shortly on cheesechopper.com. But trying to kind of, you know, use the things that I've learned, the next road's definitely a lot easier on product number two than number one was for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that is an absolutely amazing idea. I wish you would use some of your powers for good. Like, can your next product be something even like healthy adjacent, like
right? Seriously,
stop making it so easy for me to be unhealthy.
I know, right? Well, I'll tell you what, here's the thing. If you pre-order a pizza pack, so the with all pre-orders get entered to win a year supply of free pizza. So you want to talk about not making it healthy. It helps when the pizza packs ship, and that's actually one of the things we did with all of our Cheese Chopper pre-orders, is you got entered to win a year supply of free cheese. So now that we're shipping out orders, one lucky winner is getting a block of Tillamook a week for the next year.
Wow.
So we're not doing too good at helping you be healthy.
I just feel like your next product's going to be like, it's a Camelback backpack, but it's filled with chocolate syrup. And
patent pending.
Right. We call it the chocolate back. Anyway, yes. Tate, congratulations on all your success, man. It's been so much fun to talk to you. Cheesechopper.com, where people can check that out. Sir. And the pizza pack is on there as well.
Yeah, it will be in the next couple of days. That'll all be up there by the time Shark Tank airs. We're just kind of getting the details finished up and getting things ready for it. But yeah.
Awesome. Love that, man. Thanks again. Awesome. Congrats on all your success. Your creativity is really awesome to see. Love that kind of stuff coming out of our local area. Cheesechopper.com. You're also on Facebook. And we can't wait to see you on Shark Tank this Friday. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome. Thanks again, man. You have a great day.
You too.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was gonna go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years. Sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Joining us again on our show is Alexis Purcell. She's the organizer of the Canby's Farmers Market, Canby Farmers Market, I should say, coming now into your 3rd season as the organizer of that event. Right, Alexis?
Yep. 3 years in.
Yeah. And it's just been smooth all the way through. No bumps, no crazy pandemics to deal with.
No, never.
You guys are opening April 24th. You did have a very good year last season, all things considered, right, in terms of numbers of people and vendors.
Yeah, we did a great year. We were really excited that we had such a good response. And I think people were really ready to get out and enjoy the outdoors and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was a great year altogether.
Yeah, and it must have just felt good to be able to provide that place for local farms. I think there were kind of some very small or newer businesses that were able to find a place that wouldn't have been able to do business or open up in other ways, but were able to do it through your market.
Correct. Yeah, there was a lot of people that, you know, like people were just trying to, you know, find a way to get involved in the community and make some extra money in circumstances given. So it was a good year.
That's great. So I wanted to ask you about this year. Obviously, we are coming into the new season. April 24th, I believe, is your first date.
Yep.
And how are things been going so far? What is the process of kind of preparing for a new season of the farmers market?
Well, first we decided to stay with our same location because we love being right by the park and the coffee shop. So that's always great for us. And then, you know, we move on to vendor applications and have people apply. And I think right now our last count this morning was 48. So we're doing pretty good.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So I would assume, like, you finished up last year being big enough to cover 2 blocks. It sounds like we're going to be at that size again.
Yeah, we'll have our 2 full city blocks, and then we will have some special dates mixed in, and hopefully we'll be able to stretch down the other way and be a little bit bigger, all spread out safely.
Awesome. Awesome. So you're going to, you mean the other way, just the other side of, North Second, North Holly.
We're going to stretch down, on, I believe it's 3rd to Grant. So we're going to kind of go in a sideways Y shape.
Okay. Yeah. A little bit of a T shape.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So it'll be good. We'll have our special dates mixed in with our antique day and our dog day and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing that's a little newer this year, right? Is kind of adding some different themes and different events. Where did that idea come from?
We're just trying to keep it so that, you know, we get some new faces, maybe some new people that want to come down and check it out and try something new.
Cool. And I think another thing that's new this year is you're doing a 2-day market for the July 4th weekend.
We are really hopeful that we can put that all together and make it give the community something to do on 4th of July. I know we ran a 4th of July market last year after we had thought, yeah, maybe we'll pass, but it ended up being a really good day and people had a lot of fun. So,
yeah, typically the market would not be open, would be dark that weekend, so as not to try to compete with the Canby's Independence Day celebration at Waite Park. But with that not happening last year, you guys figured to go for it. And I think I remember the vendor saying it was like crazy, like their best weekend ever.
Yep, it was. It was a good day. I think everybody had a really good time and it was well worth it.
Nice. Very cool. So that you said you're going to have dog days. There's an antique kind of themed weekend. And then I think there's also a pancake breakfast with the football team.
Right. We, you know, I believe it's June 12th. We're going to team up with the Canby football team and do pancake breakfast. They're going to be out making pancakes. And the 19th of June is going to be bring your dog to the market day, and we'll have some good prizes and stuff for the cute pups that make their way through. And July 24th, we're going to do the antique day. So it'll be everything antique, shabby chic, farmhouse, you name it, it'll be there. So
awesome. Those should be fun. With the football team, is that a fundraiser then for the club?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Makes sense. And the winter, the winter market is making a comeback this year, as I understand as well.
Yeah, it is. We're gonna keep it going. You know, it was some cold times, but we all had a good time, and it was something to do outside.
So, now is that going to be in that location where you guys did it last year, out by the Pioneer Chapel again?
No, we're actually going to keep it right by the coffee shop in the park.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, that was really neat. I'm glad that that's coming back. It was cold and rainy at times, but you know, you had the nut vendors and some other people there selling warmer food, Arlene cuisine, which was nice.
Yeah.
And just a chance to get some ornaments and kind of decorate the place ring in the holiday season. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. I wanted to ask kind of any feedback that you've been getting from people from last year. You said people seemed to really enjoy just the chance to get out. I know that in the past, before you took over, you know, it had been difficult to kind of at times for organizers to get buy-in for this event. But I think that you've done a really great job of kind of building momentum and getting people excited about the farmers market again.
Yeah, no, we're really excited for another season. I told my daughter after year one, I said, you know, I don't know if this is my gig. I don't know if I can pull this off and make it a go. But, you know, here we are, year three, and last year was phenomenal. And I think this year will be even better. And just trying to work with all the local farms and stuff like that to make it really a community kind of deal has been great.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of support, you know, people really like it. So
yeah,
the bigger, the better. And I hope that everybody enjoys it. So
yeah. What's been your formula for success, Alexa? I mean, it always seemed like it didn't really make a lot of sense for the market to struggle like it did. Right. I mean, we're surrounded by all of these farms. Can't be people always talk about and actually do. I mean, it's not just talk. People really do support local businesses and things in this community. It's a real, really tight-knit community in that way. And for whatever reason, even though this event is farms and local.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I don't know what the trick was. I really think COVID had a really big play in it. Honestly, I just think by last year, everybody was so sick of being in the house. They were looking for something to do. And, you know, farmers market was just happened to be right there. So what the heck? But they've come together. You know, everybody supports a lot in this community. It's a great little town. And, you know, we're surrounded by farms. So why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that honesty. I think that you've brought a real steadiness to the event that I think, you know, a lot of times you just keep showing up, you know, until you find your footing. And you do such a great job with the branding and the social media as well, which I think is really important for farmers markets nowadays.
Right. For sure. Well, I love doing it, and it's a great little town. So the more the merrier.
Awesome. So we are, we've set the location. We're obviously a Saturday market. The hours are going to be the same, 9 to 1.
9 to 1. Yep.
Okay, great. Starting April 24th. Check you guys out on Facebook, Canby Farmers Market. Anything else to add, Alexis, before you go?
No, we hope to see everybody. We're really excited for a great season and making it all come together.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for hanging in there for us, Alexa. You've done a great job, and we are really excited for this season as well. We'll definitely be out there.
Awesome. Thanks, Tyler. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
Thanks.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. Miss going to the Wild Hare. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart, and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.